preached this sermon in church at my church Sunday, and I got it done in 34 minutes. Now, sticks and stones, you people come in late don't know what I'm getting ready to say. Sticks and stones may break my bones, so please don't throw no sticks and stones. It's good to be here tonight with each of you in this church. I'm thankful for the invitation to come and speak to you. I have great appreciation for these older heads here tonight because they taught me most of what I know. I'm thankful for so many young people here tonight. That's the life of the church in the future, isn't it? So it's good to be here. I will not be able to be here on tomorrow. We have a death in our family on my wife's side, and just a little bit not focused tonight, but I hope that we can be a blessing to you, and that maybe Brother Short and Brother Steph will cover up for me. But I think of the Old Testament, and there's not much preaching in the Old Testament anymore. It seems like that everybody focuses on the New Testament. But I'd like to bring some thoughts to your attention tonight, and the topic for me tonight would be the fact that He is able. He is able. I know that every young preacher and old preacher has preached on this subject, but maybe I'll approach it a little bit differently than others might. But if you would turn with me to the book of Daniel and look at some scriptures with me. And in chapter 3 of Daniel, you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he set up this image in the out there, and when the music played, everybody had to fall down and worship the image. But you know, there was three old Baptists out there. And Nebuchadnezzar asked a question here in verse 15. The question is asked here, "Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And here's the government of today. "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Well, you know, it says here, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful." It sounds like Joshua a little bit, you know, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King." It's time that we, as Baptist people, got a little boldness. Yeah. And stood up. And serve and be faithful and proclaim the God that we say we know and love. These three men here said, "We're not careful to answer you. Our God is able." Now, as I go down through my sermon, and once again, I'm watching the clock, but I have about three or four points. But the God that we serve, He brought it by the Word, by His Word. He spoke this world into existence. And over in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it is, by the same Word, this world is kept in store under fire against the day of judgment. So our God is a sovereign God. He's able. He's able to do whatsoever He wants to do. And I've heard news reports and even read in the newspaper, and people will say that in regard to fires and storms and earthquakes, God is going to be held accountable. I ask this question. We hear about a God through a gospel that another that God's done all He could do in salvation and now the rest is up to you. I'm going to tell you that's not the God that we serve today. In regard to our problems and situations in our life, we have a God that's able to succor us. I'm just going to give you these points, and as we could make down to them, fine. Our God's in the saving business today. He's able to save to the uttermost. And on and on and on. Our God is a great preserver today. We persevere because He preserves us. He's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless. And as I say, if we make all these thoughts tonight, fine. If we not, don't, it's okay. But in this same chapter here, this same man, Nebuchadnezzar, you know what happened to him? He had to go out in the field for a few years and get his education. And when he came back, a couple of verses in chapter 4, verse 35, this same Nebuchadnezzar, it says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will." That's the God that we serve tonight. Let me tell you, Obama, excuse me, is not out of control. World government is not out of control. Our economy is not out of control. Now, we all complain, probably more than even we should. But the sovereign God that we serve, to get back to the first point once again, let me just share a couple of verses. In this same chapter here, after Nebuchadnezzar had been out in the field, chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" Isn't that a great thought right there? God doesn't answer to anyone. Now, the last verse, verse 37 in this chapter, says this, and I'm just throwing this one in for free, but I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and His ways judgment, and those that walk in pride He is able to abase.
Amen.
We have to have a little lesson from time to time on our pride, and God is able to bring us down.
Amen.
Now, in regard to the sovereign God and His will being carried out, in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Tonight, God's will is being carried out. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will." My question to you tonight is, God able? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's an all-powerful, almighty God. And every knee is going to bow one day, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 46, verse 10 says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." There's one thing about each of us tonight. Some of us have to answer to a few people. Many of us have to answer to a lot of people. But our God doesn't answer to anybody. He's sovereign. He's all powerful in everything. And these, just a few verses here to share with you tonight. You know, we need to, I think it was Brother Minnie that said, we need to rejoice in our singing. Yes, we do. If there's anybody here on earth tonight, it's we as the people of God that that have something to be thankful for and rejoice in. That we ourselves don't have to worry about. We don't have to worry about anything because God is providing for us. He's keeping us. He's directing us. He's working in us and through us. And we should be the most joyful, the most happiest of all people. Now, another verse. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now, let's recall the Lord as He walked here on earth, and He had a great multitude of people, and they were hungry. And what did He have to work with? That may be a bad statement, but nonetheless, they brought Him a few barley loaves and a few fishes. And after He had fed 5,000 people and women and children, what'd they take up? 12 baskets full. And we could turn, if we had time, and read Malachi 3 about bringing all our tithes into the storehouse and various things of that nature. But God has promised to bless His people as they trust Him and are faithful to Him. How about as Peter, you know, he was sulking and he was about half decided that he was going to quit and go back to old ways and stuff. They fished all night. The Lord was right there on the shore and He said, "Cast the net on the other side." Now, Lord, we fished all night. And yet, we talk about ourselves as people of great faith. But we take the same attitude sometimes. Now, we've prayed about this and we've besought the Lord and we have sought to find the Lord's will in this matter, and you know, it's just about a lost cause. But wait a minute. He is able. God is able. They threw the old net in on the other side of the boat. What happened? They couldn't draw it in. So many fish. God blessed Elijah by the brook, the ravens and the brook, the widow woman, and the little bit of flour, if you will, and the cruse of oil. Just enough for one more meal. But every time it was time to eat, God provided.
Yeah, right.
Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Do you believe that? Does that apply to us in the year 2012?
Yeah.
Is God the same God? I believe He is. I believe He is. He's working in us and through us tonight. How about Solomon as he asked for wisdom? God gave him wisdom and gave him great riches and prosperity. Well, we could go on, we could go on and go on here. We mentioned this and we'll look at this thought for just a moment. In Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Is God still in the saving business? I believe He is. I know that when Jesus was born, it says in Matthew 1, "His name shall be called Jesus. For He shall save..." Who's He saving tonight? Just at random? I don't think so. He's saving His people.
Amen.
As many as the Lord our God shall call. Yeah. Isaiah 53 says He bare the sins of men. And I like to get over there in the New Testament, over there toward the back end, where it talks about to the beloved. the promises that are to the beloved. That's we as the people of God. So he's able also to save them to the uttermost. Paul said here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. The problem is, today, as far as we're concerned, it's hard to find a sinner. You go down the street, you look in the obituary column every morning, and everybody's going to be with the Lord. Heaven's going to be full, don't you know? I wish it was that way, folks. I wish it was. But you see, in my walking in the world and on my job and various places of that nature, when I begin to talk to people and try to relate to them, first of all, I find out that they're not talking about the same God that I'm talking about. They're not talking about the same salvation that I know. They haven't had the same experience through the preaching of the Word and by the working power of the Holy Spirit that I've had. And you know, because of that, we have a salvation that is not eternal. It's not, it won't keep. Because it's another salvation. I believe the God that we serve, and I'm going to try to get down to that one if we don't do any more, He's able to keep us from falling. And He that hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So we have a great God. We have a great God. John 3:17, in regard to salvation, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I want to tell you tonight, friends, there's no other way whereby we must be saved except through Jesus Christ. It's a little joke with the time. Anybody's preaching here, if you're just... Brother Steph, if you just got here, they've got rocks all over the place. Don't go over. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I'm glad
for
you. But I'm a little bit selfish. I'm really glad for me. Because I was an old lost sinner. I was just like Paul. Listen, folks, we all think that we were the chiefest of sinners, don't we? That we're on saving ground when we come to realize that we're without help, without hope, apart from Jesus Christ. Another point here that I just have written down, scratched around on the side of the page and everything else, is found in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. And you know what it says? It says that He's able to succor them that are tempted. Aren't you glad of that tonight? We live in a terrible world. This is a terrible place. But I'm thankful that our God is our shelter. He's our defender. He's our comforter. He's our protector from especially the old devil, as a roaring lion, as he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? I'm thankful. Listen, if it wasn't for the hedge that God places around His people, I've got a community full of people that knows I go to church on Sunday morning. And they could say, oh, Hank and his family's not at their house. Let's go up there and just take everything that he's got. You know, we have a great God. And He shields us from harm and danger. Today, on my job, we turned a truck over. And I took a couple pictures and sent them around. And a couple of people called me and said, Was that you? I said, no, that wasn't me. The Lord kept me from it. And think about it, as we drive on the highways and all the people that we meet every day that are filled up with drugs and alcohol and can't drive a lick and all the other things that we could talk about, God is able to keep us. He's able to provide for us. He's able, and the scripture here, we could go into it a little bit further. He's able to succor them that are tempted. There's a lot of temptation in the world today. The world has a big pull on us that doesn't. We have people that call into our homes and they try to sell us things and they have big sales pitches. The world has a big sales pitch all the time. The devil, as he even took Jesus up on the mountain and the various things that he did. The world tries to tell us we can't live if we don't do these things, if we don't have these things, if we don't partake of these things. But folks, we've lived a long time without it. We can live a little bit longer, can't we? I suppose that this last point maybe is my favorite. And he's the great preserver. I believe in perseverance and preservation, don't you? But wait a minute. I want to say this to you tonight. I didn't work to get saved, and I don't work to keep myself saved. How much work would I have to do, and how much sin would I have to commit in order to lose my salvation? You see, these Arminians, they can't tackle those questions, can they? But I want to know. I want to tell you this in 2 Timothy 1, verse 2. It says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's able, isn't he? We have a great Savior and he keeps us. I quoted a portion of this scripture, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Two verses, and I'll turn to, if you want to, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I like to turn pages in the Bible, don't you? Are you reading the Bible on your phone tonight? That's good if you don't have a Bible, but I like the old black book. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, what's this phrase? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm thankful that I'm saved by the grace of God. But I'm kept by the grace of God too. And I'm sealed here, as it says, by the Holy Spirit of promise. We talk about committing sin, and I think it's wrong to commit sin. But when I commit a sin, it don't take the blood off the mercy seat. It don't break that reconciliation that has been provided through the death of Jesus Christ as He atoned and propitiated for our sins. What has been done in our behalf cannot be undone. Is that correct? I think so. Ephesians, turn over two or three pages to chapter 4 and verse 30. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I know there's a whole lot of old country people here. And it's just about canon time, isn't it? And buddy, when you got those jars sitting on the table and you hear them start popping there a little bit, and my mom used to count them. She counted every once in a while, we'd come up one or two short, wouldn't we? The jar didn't seal. But I want to tell you, if God's done a work of grace in our hearts and lives, the job is complete. It's done. It's a perfect thing. Now, I want to talk about the Lord's Prayer for just a minute. What did He pray? John 17, verse 11. Has my watch stopped here? I'm still watching. It doesn't bother me, really, until I see a rock. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That's the Lord Jesus Christ praying for His people. Do you think that that prayer is going to be answered? I think it will be. I think it will be. I'm going to quit here. Let me read you one more verse, and I'll give somebody else a shot at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's only one way that we can get around these truths tonight, that we have a sovereign God, we have a great Savior, we have a great provider, and we have a great preserver. And that's to throw this Bible out the window. We're not going to do that. It's the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you tonight, our God is able. He's able. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? We serve a great God.
Amen.